Have your Bibles, we'll turn to the book of Hosea, Hosea and chapter 8, and we'll read our text together that is found in the verse 12. So the book of Hosea and the chapter 8, and we want to read our text for tonight, and it is found in the verse 12. The Lord says, I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. Let's unite our hearts together in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for what has taken place tonight, and for the singing, and for the praise of our great Saviour, and for the opportunity to speak a little about thy work, thy cause, in the land of Kenya. And we pray tonight that thou would be with us around thy word, and thou would speak to our hearts. Remember those who's in here tonight without Christ. Lord, visit them with thy mercy, and bring them down to the feet of Christ. Oh, that this would be the day that they will be saved by the grace of God. Give us help around thy word, and bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 12 says, I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. Hosea was a great prophet of God. It is said by commentators and by the Jewish people that this man continued a prophet for 90 years. 90 years he preached the word of God. 90 years he served the Lord, this man. Stood before the congregations, stood before the people, and preached the message that God laid upon his heart. Because remember this, the prophet of God was a man who did not preach his message, but he preached the very message that God gave to his heart. And you can see in this prophecy that there were times that he spoke about their sin. In chapter 10 and verse 1 he says, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself according to the multitude of his fruit. He hath increased his altars. And what he was saying to this people, that they had sinned against the Lord. Here were people had made altars. Here were people had turned to idolatry. I remember here were a people brought up in the things of God. And here was a nation who had the scriptures of truth. But they turned away from God. They went after idolatry. They went after their false idols, and they made their altars, and they turned away from God. And there were many people like that in the free church. Many people in our congregations throughout our land has been taught the word of God and taught the way of salvation, and they've turned away from God. And they're running after the world, and they're running after sin. Is that you in the meeting tonight? Is he speaking about you tonight in this meeting? You've made your altars. You've made your idols. Idol of yourself. Idol of the world. Idol of silver, idol of gold, friends. Here were people, and they turned away from God. And he stood, this man stood, and he preached. He preached against their sin. And sin is always to be preached against. Always to be spoken against. That it is evil in the sight of the Lord. He spoke also about their punishment, because in chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, he tells them how God is going to punish his people. Verse 3, Israel has cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. Ah, there's no doubt about it. This says the Lord. The enemy shall pursue him. They have cast off that which is good. They have turned away from me. They have went the way of wickedness. And God says here, the enemy shall pursue them. How true the Bible is. The wages of sin is death. If you follow a life of sin, then surely it will bring forth trouble. It will bring forth death. And God says here, certainly, surely, the enemy shall pursue this people. You'll never prosper when you run after sin. They say to young people tonight, you're going the way of the world. You're going the way of unrighteousness. You've turned away from the Bible. You've turned away from God. Trouble ahead. You can be sure of it. There's trouble ahead. If you're not saved also, you'll lose your soul. Well, here's a man speaking about their punishment. And he spoke also, can I say, about the mercy of God. Because chapter 14, verse 1, the Lord says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. And never, friends, even God says he would punish them. Even though God hated their sin, even though God said the enemy shall surely pursue them, I'm glad there's mercy with the Lord. And the people turned to God. He would forgive them. And God would love them freely. Our God's a merciful God tonight. He has not changed. And if you turn tonight from your sin and from your wickedness, and if you come to Jesus Christ with all of your heart, He will forgive you for all your sins and He will love you freely. He will love you tonight. The prophet is preaching all of these things. And in our text tonight, he speaks about the Word of God. Because remember, this was the message he was preaching. It was not his own message. And the Lord said to the prophet, I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. He tells him about the law of God, and he tells him about the Word of God. There was a message about the Scriptures to this people. And you see three things about the message. You can see, first of all, about the claim of the Scriptures. Now we can see plainly here that the claim of the Scriptures is this. That God says, I have written. And the Lord has sent to the people through this prophet, I have written this message. I am the divine author of this book. It is me that has sent this law, this word unto you. I have written, says God. And so the people are left in no doubt that it was God's word. And the people were left in no doubt that it was not the prophet Hosea himself. It was not his message. God says, no, I have written. I have written these things, you see. The word of the Lord came unto this people. Indeed, in chapter 1, verse 1, you'll see, chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea. Chapter 4, verse 1, hear the word of the Lord, you see. And listen, the Bible is from God. The Scriptures are from God Himself, their divinity. I have written, says the Lord. And I could take time tonight, and we haven't got time. I can take it to Moses tonight. And Moses, that man of God, was sent. And God said in Exodus 4, verse 11 and 12, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach them what thou shalt say. And God has said unto Moses, go out and preach to the people. Go out to this people and bring a message to them, and I shall be with thy mouth, and I shall teach you what to say. What's God saying? Listen, it's my message. God is saying it's my word. The Lord is saying, I have written the divinity of the word, even to do with David in 2 Samuel 23 and verse 2. He said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. And David, this man of God, they give us the Psalms, they give us parts of the Bible. David here says to us that it was God's word. And what's he saying? The same message here of Isaiah, that God says, I have written. God has written these things. Now there are many other verses in the Bible that shows us that prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And throughout this Bible it tells us this, the claim of the Scriptures. God says, I have written. God says, it's His word. God has taken man, as you and I would take a pen, and we would write with a pen. God has taken man, and He has written His word, and God says, I have written. There's abundant evidence in the Bible that this book is no other book than the Word of God. That's the claim of this book. God says, I have written. Now, I hope tonight there's none in this meeting that does not believe the Bible is the Word of God. I know over in England, many people reject this. When I was coming across from Kenya, I got off in Heathrow and I had to go to Lewis to preach. It meant I had to get three trains. And in each of those trains, I had an opportunity of witnessing. The first train was the underground right across from Heathrow to Victoria. And I sat down beside this group, and this man was American. He was 80-something years old, and he was near death. And he kept asking me questions. And for me to answer the questions, I had to speak very loud. And I had to roar. He says, "What do you say?" And I had to shout at this man. And he asked me questions about salvation. And I told him, and everybody in the carriage heard. And how I know that, there's two boys up at the far end. For they asked me one question, "Where are you from?" I said, "I'm from the mountains of Mourne." "What?" I says, "I'm from the mountains of Mourne." And I heard the boys way up at the far end. He says, "That boy's from the mountains of Mourne." So when they heard that bit, they heard all the rest. I got another train. I had a bicycle standing, and I gave me and him an opportunity to speak again. But then I had to get another train to Brighton, and I ended up with a fellow who worked for the BBC. So the two of us could chat. Of course, it came round about the Bible. And he rejected the Word of God. He said he did not believe the Bible is the Word of God. And I said, "Do you think there is a God, that God has not revealed himself? There is a God. He made the world. He made us." And I says, "God has revealed himself to us in his word. And the Bible is the word of God." And here we have this text. And listen to me. God says, "I have written." God says his word. And I believe it. I believe this with all my heart tonight. That this book is God's word. He has given us this book. I trust that you see tonight, this is God's word. This is God's word. It's divinity and it's authority. Because listen, "I have written," says God. You know, if I wrote a letter to you, and I wrote a letter about different things, and I put my name at the bottom of the letter, you wouldn't pass a bit of remarks about it. He says, "That's just from Noah." But God's name is at the bottom of this. "I have written." Oh, friends, the stamp of authority is upon this very book that God has given to us. The one who says in the Bible in Psalm 47, verse 2, "He is a great king over all the earth. And the God who is Lord, and the Lord who is king, he sends us this book, the scriptures of truth. He says, 'I have written.'" He has put a stamp upon them. Them have got to listen. We have got to listen what God says in this book. It has power to convict a sinner. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 and verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword." And when we preach the Bible and when we read the word of God, it slays the sinner in his sin. I read of a man who was going to China and he was given a tract. He cursed, you know, when he got that tract. And he crumbled it up and he placed it in his pocket. And later on in his journey, he needed a light. And he reached into his pocket for a piece of paper. And he saw this tract. And it says that he got the tract and he started to rip it into pieces. But there's one little piece caught his eye. And he looked at it closely. You know what it said? "Prepare to meet thy God." And that man was stumped in a moment. The word of God, like a sword, went into his very heart. He could find no rest. He could find no peace until he found Christ. Just one word. "Prepare to meet thy God." He is a word of authority. And that same word comes to you tonight. The Bible is the word of God, the scriptures of truth. And God says, "I have written. I have written." Do you listen to the word of God? Do you listen what God says in it? Do you obey it? It has authority and power to not only to convict, but also to convert. As Tory said, "A book which will lift men up to God must have come down from God." And when sinners hear this message, they are saved. They come to Christ. They find peace in believing. They find the word of God. They find Christ. You see, the authority of the word of God, God says, "I have written. I have written." And you might be here tonight, listen, you've got this in your lap. If you haven't, I have no doubt that everybody in this place has a copy of the word of God at home. It's authority. "I have written," says God. Do you obey it? Do you live by the Bible? its durability as well. You see, I have written. This book has been hated, has been persecuted from its very conception. The Roman emperor one time in Rome, he ordered a medal to be made which said the Christian religion is destroyed and the worship of the gods restored. That's what he thought. He had burnt the Christians. He had burnt the copy of the Scriptures of Truth. And he got this medal to be made, and he says to the people, well, the Christian religion is destroyed and the worship of God's restored. Where is he tonight? Listen, I've got a Bible. He's gone, that man who did that. But God's word goes marching on. You see, the Bible says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. You see, God says, I have written. Oh, the durability of the word of God. What God has written remains forever. You can't rub it out. You can't cast the book away, friends. The word of God remains. God says, I have written. It's honesty as well, because God says, I have written. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said, he says, thy word is truth. This is true, what we read in the word of God, you see. How many people laugh and mock at the Bible? But the word of God is true. It tells us the truth about man. It condemns him. It tells you that man is a sinner in the sight of God. It tells you that man is far away from the Lord. It tells us that the sinner is heading down towards hell to be punished for all eternity. Tell me this, do you think man would write that about himself? Do you think man would take up a pen and write, there is none righteous, no, not one, there is none that doeth good? Do you think a man would write all those things about himself? Indeed he would not. And yet people say to us, it was man who wrote the Bible. Listen, God says, I have written it. Oh, the honesty of the Scriptures. God tells us that all man's righteousness are filthy rags. It tells us that a person dies without Christ, that they're lost and lost forever. Tell me, friends, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the things that God has written? I have written, says the Lord. The honesty of it and the unity of the Bible. There are many writers, 40 different men, around 40 different men were given the responsibility of writing down the word of the Lord. And these men were different men from different stations. There were judges and kings and priests and prophets and herdsmen and scribes. And all of these men, they didn't know each other. But when put the Bible together, it all agreed. And I want to say tonight in this pulpit that this book is the word of God. It's God's book. I have written, says the Lord. I have written this. This is the word of God. Oh, that everyone, from the youngest to the oldest in this meeting, would realize that this book is like no other book in this world. And they are the Scriptures of truth. And God says, I have written, I have given you this book. I have given you this message. Tells you all about yourself. Tells you all about your sin. Tells you all about your soul. It tells you all about eternity. We can trust it. There are many things you can't trust in life, but I'll tell you this, you can trust the Bible. Oh, the claim of the Scriptures here, the prophet is speaking this, and God is saying, I have written. This is God's word. We're to sit up and take note of the same. Because it talks about the contents of the Scriptures. Because he says here, I have written to him the great things of my law. And so he goes on, the great things of my law. Now when we think of the law of God, we can think about it in three areas. We can think about the law of God and his commandments. And God is saying here to Ephraim, I have written unto you the commandments. I have given unto you the moral law, how you are to live in this world. And you know when Moses got that law from the mountain? He didn't take it upon himself to write down these commandments. He did not take these tables of stone and by his own notion, by his own words, write out the law of God. No, dear friends, God says, I have written. I have written the law. And when you go to the book of the Bible in Acts chapter 20, you will see that God gave the law unto Moses. You will see that commandment after commandment is given unto the people. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal, and so on. Law after law was given, and God has given it. God has given man this moral law to live, to keep, in order to control their life. God has given us this law. But let me tell you this, everybody has broken it. Everybody in this world, everybody in this movement has broken this law. God has given us. He says, I have written unto him the great things of my law. I have given him the commandments. How he is to live his life. But he's broken every one of them. Doesn't matter who he is, friends. Everyone in this meeting, through to me, has broken the law of God. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3 and verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And the Bible tells us what sin is in the sight of God. It's breaking this law. It's taking the very commandments of God in a sense, and it's casting them down upon the ground. And it's saying unto the Lord, I will not obey thy law. I will not live by thy law. Tell me, is that you tonight? Are you breaking the law of God? Are you rejecting this law? The law that God has given us, he expects us to keep it. Because now you have broken it, you're under his curse. Galatians 3 verse 10, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do it. There's a curse put upon man because he broke the law of God. And that's upon you tonight, unsaved. Oh, that God will show you your need tonight. That God will show you your position before him tonight, because you have broken his law. I have written to him the great things of my law, how you are to live. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short of the standard. You're in this meeting tonight, you're living without God and without Christ, and you break this law time and time and time again. Disobeying God's law. You see, God's law and the commandments. Think of the law and the ceremonies as well, because another great thing of the law is the ceremonial laws, and they were temporary. They're only a shadow of the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you read about the priest in Israel taking a lamb or a bullock or a goat and shedding the blood. And the lamb had to be without blemish, and the blood was slain and was put upon the altar. And all of these things were teaching the people about Christ and telling us about the Lord Jesus who would come, and he would die and he would suffer. And he would put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. All of these ceremonial laws told about Christ in picture form. And that's why when John the Baptist came, he said before all the people, to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The people knew all about the Lamb of God. Knew all about the morning and the evening sacrifices. Knew all about the blood being shed. They knew all about the altars. Because God said, I've given unto them the law. They were told about Christ in picture form. About how he would come and die. And listen, God has given unto you the law. Even in ceremonies, in a sense. You have heard the gospel. How many times do you want to hear the gospel before you're saved? How many times do you have to hear about the love of God and the love of Christ? How many times, how many opportunities do you want in order before you come to Christ and to be washed in the blood of the Lamb? And God says, I've given unto you the law, the ceremonies. Can we think about the law and Christ? You see, the law pointed to what? Of course it talked about sin. It was to reveal sin, and there's no doubt about that. But the law was given for this reason, to point us to Christ. Because in Galatians 3 verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us on to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And here God tells us why he's given the law. It's like a schoolmaster. Well, it's like a teacher. It's going to teach us how to be saved. It's going to show us that we cannot be saved by the law, that we're saved by Christ. And God's given us the law to be our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And so you have the law and Christ, you see. The Bible says in Romans 10 verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Listen, the end of the law for righteousness, what? Is Christ. He fulfilled the law fully. By his life, he said in Matthew 5 verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And Christ came to fulfill the law of God. And he did this by his deeds and by his life. He never sinned. He never blasphemed. He never stole. He is, of course, the Holy One of God. He could not sin. You and I have sinned, as I have said. You and I have broken the law of God, but Christ kept the law of God fully. And by his deeds. And he fulfilled it by his death. The law said this: the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's what the Bible said. God tells us if you sin, you'll die. But Christ did not sin. We had to say that. And we had said it. But the Lord Jesus Christ took the sinner's place. He took their sins upon them. And when God the Father looked upon Christ, and he saw this multitude of sin, this heap of transgressions upon his only begotten Son, it tells us in the Bible that the wrath of God, or it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And he fulfilled the law by his death. He suffered in the sinner's place. And he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, you see. Oh, what a message is given on to this people. I have written unto them my law. And the law was to show them Christ and how to be saved and how to get everlasting life. And God has done the same for you. You're a privileged person to be taught the Word of God and to hear the Word of God being preached. And God has given unto you his law, all about Christ and how to be saved. That is the end of the law for righteousness. That he can save you. That his blood can cleanse you from every sin. And God has given you the privilege of hearing this message. Indeed, of having this message in your own mother tongue upon your knee. I have written to him the great things of my law. What a blessing it is to be brought up in this province. To brought up the land where the Word of God is being preached and to hear the Word of salvation. And you've heard it many, many times. You see, the contents of the Scriptures is Christ and all the Scriptures. Have you read it? Do you believe it? Have you obeyed what God has told us in his Word? He talks also about their conduct toward the Scriptures. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. Imagine that God would write this great book, this great law. He would give them the very word from his mouth. He would send down prophet after prophet to this people and to preach to them. And God said, I have given them, I have written to him the great things of my law. But he said, they have counted them as a strange thing. Count to them as strange. Oh, dear friend, they said, I do not understand it. I do not like it. I will reject it. How foolish they were. You know, it was God's word. It was his word on to this people. But they said, that's a strange message. I'm not going to believe it. Like that fellow I met on the train, it didn't matter what I said to him. Didn't matter what verse I quoted to him. Just a strange thing. That's a strange thing, he said. A word to that effect, he didn't want it. You can think about their sin in such a thing, because Isaiah 30 verse 9 says that This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Now listen, that's a sin against God. They would not hear it. And God said of such people that would not listen to His word and that counted His law in a strange thing. He says they're rebellious people. And God says they're lying children and children that will not hear the law of the Lord. He looks upon their attitude as rebellion. And when this prophet stood before this people, this says away with you. We don't want to hear this message. It's a strange thing. It's rebellion in the sight of God. Set your heart tonight in this meeting. Rebelling against the gospel. Rebelling against the Lord. You say, I wish Noel would soon stop preaching till I get out of this place. I want to go after the world. I want to go after my sin. You count it a strange thing. But listen tonight, can I say to you, that's a great sin in the sight of God. It's rebellion in the sight of the Lord. These people and their selfishness, they wanted to go their own way. They wanted to do their own thing. That's why they counted the word of the Lord a strange thing. In Mark 7 verse 9, the Lord said unto these people, the Jewish people, and He said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that they may keep their own tradition. These wanted to keep their own traditions. They had no problem keeping the traditions of their fathers, but they didn't want the law of God, and they didn't want the word of the Lord. They wanted to do their own thing, you see. They committed, they counted the law of God as a strange thing. Just to do what they like. It's up to you tonight. Are you rejecting the word of God just because you want to do your own thing? You want to live like the world. You want to run after the pleasures and sin of the world. All your selfishness. You can see that these people about their suffering, because in verse 14... the Lord says, for Israel hath forgotten his Maker, and buildeth temples, and Judah have multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. And God says, well, they can build their cities, but God says, I will send a fire down upon them. I will devour these places. The wrath of God was going to come upon this people, because they counted the word of God as a strange thing. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't obey the word of God. And they received God's punishment. There's a verse in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 8. Talks about the coming of Christ in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the same thing. They obey it not the gospel. They would not come to Christ. They would not repent from their evil ways. They would not put their faith and trust in the one who is the Savior of the world. And it tells us here that Christ will come back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the end of those who count the word of God, the gospel of Christ, a strange thing. They lose their soul. And I say to you tonight in this meeting, how have you reacted to the word of God? Have you accepted the word of the Lord? Have you believed what God has said? Have you obeyed it, my friends, with all your heart? Where Christ says, repent and believe the gospel and come to Jesus Christ. Well, have you repented? Have you come to Christ? Are you saved? Or do you still count all of this a strange thing? Then we could lose your soul. If God was to cut anyone that got off tonight in her meeting, you'd be lost for all eternity. But would you not obey the gospel of Christ? Would you not come to Christ? You say, no, there's things I don't understand. Listen, when I got saved, there were things I didn't understand. I hardly knew where to find different books in the Bible when I first got saved. I hadn't a notion. When I first went to church with my sister and the preacher announced where it was in the Bible, I used to take her Bible, for I hadn't a notion where it was. And I used to take it. But I was saved. You know, the Lord can save you tonight. Do you know you're a sinner? Do you know you're lost without Christ? Do you believe that He can save you? Do you believe that he can give you everlasting life? Would you come and trust him? Maybe you've been running from the Lord a long time. Maybe you're hiding from God. Would you come and trust him tonight? And he will save you. And then the word of God will not be a strange thing. You know, it will be a great thing to you. You'll be born again of the word of God and saved by God's grace. If I can help you, come and speak to me. Speak to some of the elders or some of your friends in church. But don't go home without Christ. What a privilege God has given you. I've written unto you the great things of my law. What are you going to do with this book? Are you going to obey it? Are you going to reject it? Are you going to come to Christ and be saved? But trust tonight that by God's grace, he'll give you the grace to turn and put your faith and trust in Christ, and he will save you, and you will prove tonight this book is true. That him that cometh unto me, says Christ, I will in no wise cast out. And you have everlasting life, and you'll be saved by the grace of God. Trust what's written in this book. Trust the author of this book. Trust the Savior of this book. Because God has written unto us the great things of his law. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts. Let's pray. Just say in closing, if the Lord has spoken to anyone, you want to talk more about this matter, do speak with us. You can see where you are tonight. I'm sure you know the way of salvation, but if we can help you in any way, then do speak with us. But we would urge you to come to our Savior even tonight. Father, we thank you for your help, your presence. We pray you write your word upon hearts. We pray that for those in this meeting that's not saved, they will receive the word of God with gladness. And with joy they will come to Christ and they will be saved. Take us now our separate ways, Lord, into our homes in safety. And watch over us, those who will travel to Riff Island, and bless the word of the Lord to our hearts in that place. And be with us, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' great name. Amen.